opportunity to repeat one of my favorite talks, and it's the one that makes Dick Allwater sick to his stomach, but only because he gets dizzy, not because it's gross or disgusting by any means. This talk is called Where the Bleep Are We? The Earth is a ball. It is a globe. Over the centuries, there have been many attempts to project the oceans and the continents and the lines of longitude and latitude accurately to create a flat map. Because it's not practical for all of us to carry around globes. And one of the things that happened especially is that the lines on a globe go like this. Those are the longitude. But when you flatten them out, they go like this. And that was very useful for the sailors and the navigators. It made it a lot easier for them to find their way across the oceans and to follow the map and follow the directions they had been given. But it's not right. It's nowhere near right. If we look at this map, how many people recognize it? Was it on the school of your the wall of your classroom? All the way through school, you sat and stared at this map every day, and it was wrong, really, really wrong. The most simple explanation about how wrong it is to look at Greenland and Africa. Greenland looks bigger than Africa here, when in reality, Africa is 14 times as big as Greenland. 14 times as big as Greenland. This map also has a bias toward the north, because it put it at the top, for one thing. And that might have been because of the shipping routes, that's where most of the ships were traveling, and they needed the map to be accurate for them then. And maybe it was political, maybe it was cultural. An alternative to the Mercator map is this, which is called the orange peel map. Because you could take an orange, which is a globe, and cut the peel such that you could lay it flat, and it would be accurate. That is an accurate map. Look how small Greenland is, right there. Look how big Africa is, okay? But we do not like this map. Humans don't like using it. It's ugly. We have trouble understanding the splits and the separations and putting it all together in our minds. And it really has never been a very popular map, like in public schools and among the average people. So now we have, and this is the one, fasten your seatbelt, Dick. The Gall Peters map. Now look at this. Africa and Greenland seem to be in proportion. However, the land masses don't seem to have the correct shape, and they really don't, not even on this map. But they have the correct relative size. This map is called the dripping paint map because it looks like the continents are dripping down the map. I learned these things from The West Wing, by the way. There's an episode of The West Wing that explains all this. It's fascinating. Then let's look at this. That is the Gall Peters map upside down. Why would we consider that to be upside down? The Earth is a ball. It's round. There is no upside down. It's suspended in space. If you go into outer space, there's no north or south. It's all around you. And so this could be as accurate a representation of our planet as any of the maps that we've looked at so far today. And yet it does make one a little bit woozy to consider it. There are people who say that this changes the focus to the southern hemisphere, and therefore it's not prejudicial against the people who live there, if you wanted to go that far. So then, this compares the Mercator and the Vulpeters map. So where the bleep are we? How do we know? I did include three other versions of the map just for fun, okay? This is called the Norton Heart map. I thought it would be popular in Unity among us heart-centered people. I don't know if it is anywhere near accurate or if it's just a novelty, but it's cute. And then, this is for the squares among us. That one's not accurate, as far as we know, the cube. And finally, for the flat earthers. Do you know, the other day I was thinking about, here we stand, straight, solid, secure, and yet the earth is spinning so fast, we cannot imagine it. And not only is it spinning this fast, it's going around the sun at a pace that we cannot imagine. And not only that, but the sun and the entire universe is also in orbit around the center of our universe. How could it really be a ball? So I did, for one brief moment, stop and consider that the flat earthers might be right, or as right as anybody else. Good with this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we start studying Unity principles, we can feel like the old familiar map of the world has suddenly changed. This is very true. I had more than one congregant tell me that everything they thought they knew was wrong. And it felt like someone opened a door to a whole new world and they stepped through that door. And I think that these maps might kind of prepare us for that experience, because when it comes to checking out what you believe and what you're going to choose to remain believing, it is as upsetting as all these maps are. You can come to a point where you know that nothing you thought was true is true, but other things are true, and they're good things. Now, in my explorations of this strange new earth, I have been reassured when I find the same information from different sources. If I find a spiritual principle and it's in the Native American tradition and it's in the Buddhist tradition and I get it from channeled information, I'm likely to really take that one seriously. It might be presented in different words or with different examples, but it's the same concept. And if it keeps showing up in all these traditions and all these wisdom traditions, then I think that it bears looking at. And one of the things I'm going to share with you today is that book, Illusions. We are talking about illusions after all, by Richard Bach. Maybe last week, maybe the week before, after the service when we were sitting around, we talked about what books, in addition to Unity books, we would recommend for newcomers to read. This is number one. This is number one on my list to recommend to people to read when they come to Unity. It is called The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. And Richard Bach writes pure Unity. He doesn't know it, I don't think he knows it. But those principles show up from different sources in different places. The book opens with this line: a Messiah was born in the Holy Land of Indiana. And we stop right there and we go, well, what's so holy about Indiana? Indiana? Don't you mean Bethlehem? the Holy Land of Indiana, on what map should I look to find that? It is the story of a Messiah who quit. He got tired of it. He found it to be a boring job. He would speak again and again and again to crowds of people and tell them what they needed to know to be healed, to be prospered, to live in harmony, to know God, and they would not listen, they would not learn, they would come back with the same questions again and again. Some of them wanted to worship him, and some wanted to crucify him. And so he quit. And when he quit, he apologized to God, and God said, I never said you couldn't quit. This is not a problem. So the Messiah who quit, whose name was Donald Shimoda, took to giving airplane rides. The big white plane was the kind that he flew. And the author of the book, Richard Bach, flew the red plane. They were barnstorming. And this means that in the summer, they would fly, usually in the Midwest, from one small town to another, find a field they could put down in, and sell rides to the people who came in from the town for the purpose of riding in the airplanes. The travel air was bigger than the fleet. The white plane was bigger than the red plane, and it landed like a helicopter. Donald, that's the Messiah, had to keep moving on because he would attract crowds of people needing healing, then he would heal them, then he had to get out of Dodge. You know what that's like. Donald Shimoda carried with him the Messiah's handbook. The Messiah's handbook and reminders for the advanced soul. And he loaned this book to Richard. It had no page numbers. The way it worked is when you had a question, you just opened it. And wherever you opened it to would be what you needed to know. It always opened to the right place. One of the quotes from the Messiah's handbook is, you are led through your lifetime by the inner learning creature, the playful spiritual being that is your real self. Another one. Don't turn away from possible futures before you're certain you don't have anything to learn from them. Think about that in today's world. Don't turn away from possible futures before you're certain you don't have anything to learn from them. And another is, you're always free to change your mind and choose a different future or a different past. Because time and space are both illusions, you know. We talk a lot about awakening in unity and know that this is a time of awakening in our country, in our world, in our race, in our evolutionary path. Awakening is not learning. We already know. We are sharing a dream of this world. We've created this world. We dreamt it into the illusion of being. And we have the power to awaken from this dream, to awaken from all the seeming violence and injustice that it contains, especially once we realize that we are the source of our experience. The Messiah's Handbook says, the mark of your ignorance is the depth of your belief in injustice and tragedy. However deeply you believe in those things will mark your experience. What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly. One of the things that people really, really remember about the book Illusions is cloud zapping, because Donald Shimoda taught Richard Bach how to look up, pick a cloud, and to will it away. And they practiced a lot. It illustrates a difference between an illusion and a miracle, too. To zap on a cloud is not a miracle. It's just to remove an illusion. When I first read this book in 1977, I got it for Christmas, and I was in Springfield, Illinois. The next day, I drove back to Chicago, which was almost 200 miles. So the whole way, I practiced cloud zapping up these flat, flat highways through the cornfields and the soybean fields, zapping those clouds right and left. I was so excited about it that I shared it with a woman who worked in the next office from me. And so we went over to the window and we were practicing zapping clouds, and the boss walked in and we didn't hear him. And he said, "Hey, gals, what are you doing?" And we went, "Woo!" So be selective about your time and place to practice zapping the clouds. That is your assignment this week. Go on and zap some clouds and then report back next Sunday. Richard and Donald went to the movies. And the movie that was being shown was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And just toward the end, when the movie was getting very exciting and dramatic, Donald touches Richard's shoulder and asks, "Richard, why are you here?" And Richard gets all irritated and says, "Shh, shh, shh, I'm watching the movie, please." And Donald persists, saying, "Richard, it's all an illusion. The pictures aren't even moving. They only appear to be moving. Changing light that seems to move across a flat screen set up in the dark." That's when we wonder, why are we here, and how we get so enmeshed in what is going on that we don't realize it's not real. But don't bother me, because this story just got real good. Yeah. Why do people go to movies? They go for education, and they go for entertainment. Why do people go to horror movies? It's fun to be scared. It's fun to be scared, especially when you know at your depths that it's only a movie. People have free will and can go to any kind of movie that they choose. Another tricky metaphysical concept is illustrated by movies, and that is time is an illusion. You can take a DVD of a movie and put it in your hand, and that is the entire movie, beginning, middle, and end, past, present, and future. But until you play that movie and watch it as it unfolds, seemingly sequentially, you are not engaged in the experience, and it will not be the same as holding the whole story in your hand. You must live it. You must experience it as it unfolds. So I wanted to share a few more notes from the Messiah's Handbook. Imagine the universe beautiful and just and perfect. Then be sure of one thing: God has imagined it quite a bit better than you have. And another one: the world is your exercise book, the pages on which you do your sums. It is not reality, although you can express reality there if you wish. You are also free to write nonsense or lies, or to tear the pages. The world is your exercise book to do what you need to do to have the experience you want to have while you're here. And then the Messiah's Handbook concludes with one final thought. What if the only commandment was to make yourself happy? How would that change the way you live your lives? I command thee to make you happy. And so today we shake ourselves loose from our complacency, from our old tired ways of looking at the world. We allow the universe to reveal a more perfect understanding. We make new maps to follow on our journey through life and discover the route into joy and fulfillment. And thus ends the lesson. God bless you. And so we prepare now for a time of meditation. Breathe deeply. Allow your shoulders to just drop. Relax the back of your neck, the small of your back. Allow your chair to support you. Allow your spine to support you. Know that you are supported in each moment by God and by the world around you. And as we rest in this time of meditation, allow yourself to become very still, very peaceful. Breathe into the moment and feel how right it is that you are here, that you have sprung into being in this time in history and kept your divine appointment on this beautiful Sunday morning. You bring your unique energy into the world. You fulfill a role created for no other. Breathe again. And release any doubts as to your worth, as to your contribution. For you are infinitely valuable. You are irreplaceable. We thank God for each sweet soul in this sanctuary and embrace the opportunities we have for learning and for giving and for serving. Be aware that no matter what troubles you brought with you today, no matter what challenges lie ahead of you, you are enough. You are wise enough, strong enough, good enough, and loving enough to move through all of life, making the right decisions, being guided in your thoughts and words and actions, knowing that all is well. As we realize the truth of who and what we are, we learn to relate to each situation with grace and ease. We choose peace. We disengage from negativity. We apply simple tools consistently and experience life-changing results. As we pierce the veil of illusion and release error thinking, we perceive a new world. Strife and contention fall away. Struggle and lack are eliminated. We not only heal our own lives, but also heal the world. For there is no difference. We are one. As we take this time apart, let us share a few moments in the silence. Sweet Spirit, we ask for the willingness to release the old, the limiting, the destructive. We ask for clarity of vision and purity of heart so that we may behold a new world. And so it is.